What do you do when a stock you bought at $50 crashes to $30? If you're like most investors, you hold on, not because of analysis, but because selling would mean admitting defeat. This isn't just poor strategy. It's a predictable psychological trap that costs investors roughly 3.4% in annual returns. We've all been there, watching a position bleed value while convincing ourselves it'll bounce back, or panic selling during a downturn only to watch the market soar weeks later. These aren't random mistakes. They're hardwired responses that follow patterns behavioral economists have spent decades documenting. The gap between knowing what we should do and actually doing it represents one of investing's greatest challenges, and understanding why we make these emotional decisions is the first step toward making better ones. Our brains operate on two speeds: instant autopilot for daily life and slower, deliberate thinking for complex decisions. Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman calls these System 1 and System 2. Investing demands System 2 analysis, but under pressure, we default to System 1 shortcuts. When markets crash, we panic rather than weigh probabilities. When stocks soar, we chase returns without questioning valuations. This isn't weakness, it's biology. We feel losses twice as intensely as equivalent gains, a phenomenon that made evolutionary sense when losing food meant starvation, but wreaks havoc in modern portfolios. Consider investors who watched General Electric plummet from $30 to single digits between 2015 and 2018. Many held on because selling would crystallize an unbearable loss, not because fundamentals justified it. The housing bubble inflated partly due to the hot hand fallacy, the belief that rising prices would continue indefinitely. Robert Shiller's animal spirits, waves of optimism or pessimism, sweep through markets, creating feedback loops where falling prices trigger more selling and fear. We're not just fighting our own biases. We're swimming in an ocean of collective irrationality, where political leaders prioritize re-election, executives chase quarterly bonuses, and media outlets amplify dramatic narratives because fear and greed generate clicks. Excessive choice creates decision paralysis. Research shows too many options, whether ice cream flavors or investment opportunities, lead to regret and frozen decision-making. With thousands of stocks available, investors either freeze or rush decisions to escape overwhelm. The solution isn't more information, it's strategic limitation. Focus on specific themes or sectors rather than tracking hundreds of companies. When researching Palo Alto Networks, the key wasn't analyzing every cybersecurity firm, it was recognizing the secular shift toward cloud-based security and identifying the best positioned player. Effective focus requires cognitive strain. When excited about an investment, we slip into cognitive ease, a relaxed state where critical thinking diminishes and bias flourishes. If due diligence feels comfortable, you're not digging deep enough. We also battle familiarity bias, gravitating toward household names while avoiding unfamiliar companies. American investors hold 75% in U.S. stocks, despite American markets representing only 55% of global value. West Coast investors own 10% more tech stocks than average. Overcoming this requires intellectual humility, exploring the unfamiliar, and admitting we might be wrong. Four questions should guide every investment decision: who uses, who chooses, who pays, who profits. Richard Thaler's framework cuts through marketing narratives to reveal actual business dynamics. This skepticism extends to management teams. We gravitate toward charismatic CEOs with compelling stories, yet successful CEOs outperform unsuccessful ones only 60% of the time, barely better than a coin flip. We overestimate leadership's impact because the company succeeded because of visionary leadership feels more satisfying than acknowledging market timing and luck. Overconfidence amplifies this problem. When researching investments, we stop once we found a narrative confirming our initial instinct, what Kahneman calls why seeati, what you see is all there is. The antidote is the outside view, deliberately seeking perspectives that challenge your thesis. When insurance underwriters evaluated identical cases, their conclusions diverged by 56% due to random variation in judgment. If trained professionals with identical data reach wildly different conclusions, your analysis likely isn't definitive. Real expertise means calibrating confidence to evidence, not amplifying it through selective attention. Every investment needs a thesis explaining why this stock should outperform. But we're remarkably good at constructing compelling narratives from incomplete information. The planning fallacy haunts investors. We anticipate best-case scenarios rather than likely outcomes. A CEO announces aggressive growth targets, investors build models assuming success, and when reality falls short, the stock craters. Combat this with a three-legged stool approach. Instead of betting on a single catalyst, identify multiple independent reasons for success. Buying a retailer? Consider same-store sales growth, margin expansion from supply chain improvements, and market share gains from competitor weakness. If one leg breaks, the stool wobbles but doesn't collapse. To beat the market, you must do something different from the market. As Howard Marks observes, all great investments begin in discomfort, since things everyone likes are unlikely to be bargains. When you're excited and everyone agrees, that's often a warning sign. This creates a paradox in investment committees. Analysts make bold forecasts but recommend timid position sizes. Someone predicts a company will beat earnings by 20% but suggests only a 1% portfolio position. This disconnect reveals cognitive dissonance. System 2 analysis says one thing, but System 1 anxiety says another. You've done the research, built the thesis, and made the trade. Then the stock drops 15% in a week. This moment separates disciplined investors from emotional ones. The key question isn't, should I sell? It's, do I understand why this is happening? Howard Marks observes that investor psychology exaggerates movements, swinging from flawless to hopeless rather than pretty good or not so hot. Sometimes it's an availability cascade. Media overreacts to a minor problem, triggering a sell-off that attracts more coverage. A 2% earnings miss suddenly questions the entire business model. These cascades temporarily obscure reality, creating opportunities for investors who separate signal from noise. Anchoring complicates decisions. We fixate on our purchase price or all-time highs, psychologically significant but economically irrelevant. The only questions that matter, what's the stock worth today? What will it be worth in the future? When facing losses, we become risk-seeking, holding losers hoping for turnarounds rather than redeploying capital. Paradoxically, when investments perform well, we become risk-averse, selling winners too early to lock in gains. Selling is the hardest stage. After months building a position, letting go feels like failure. We delay selling losers to avoid admitting mistakes and hold winners to dodge taxes. Both create immediate pain for uncertain future benefits. Combat this by reframing. Don't think, I'm admitting I was wrong. Think, I'm freeing capital for something better. Create concrete plans. I'll sell Friday at 2 p.m. after the team meeting. Specific timing creates mental cues that reduce emotional friction and convert intentions into action. Reframe losses as business costs. When you buy a sandwich, you don't feel you've lost $5, you've paid for satisfying hunger. Similarly, viewing investment losses as normal business costs reduces negative emotions and makes selling easier, preventing small mistakes from becoming catastrophic ones. The path to investment mastery isn't perfection, it's progress. The goal isn't eliminating emotions, it's recognizing when they cloud judgment and creating systems that help you pause and think clearly. In markets driven by collective fear and greed, this ability is the foundation of long-term success.